Are you spiritually bankrupt? With nothing to offer God but filthy rags? Are you a mourner, heartbroken in life and all the losses that come our way? Are you one of the meek and overlooked ones, living in the shadows? Don't you see? The kingdom of heaven is for you.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're joining us in our series on the Sermon of the Mount. Now, Pastor Philip, you're guiding us to a wonderful truth about the heart of God. So what do we have to look forward to today?
So Jesus has begun this famous Sermon on the Mount with a list of people who are blessed by God, who have the good life. And the list of people is remarkable. It's not people we would ever think are blessed. You know, we think blessed people. We think the rich, the famous, the people on the red carpet. But Jesus' list is the poor in spirit, those who are mourning now, those who are meek and overlooked, the forgotten ones. That's how Jesus begins his list. And it's shocking to us. How could those people ever be blessed? And the reality is, when the kingdom of God comes upon us, no matter how awful our lives might be, we are rich in the kingdom of heaven. Hmm. And so it's amazing. And then there's this irony, which is, it's actually only the people who have nothing, who realize they're empty and empty-handed spiritually before God, who are actually ready to receive by grace the resources of the kingdom of heaven and salvation that Jesus offers. Only empty-handed people can grab a hold of a gift of grace in the kingdom. And that's what you need. So if you're bereft, if you're empty-handed, if you don't have much, you're actually spiritually primed and ready to receive the wonders of the kingdom of heaven. And that's what Jesus is going to teach us today.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we see who is blessed in the kingdom of God. Now, this is part 3 of the sermon, The Blessed Ones. Grab your Bibles. We're in Matthew, starting in chapter 4, verse 17, and we'll go into chapter 5, all the way to verse 12.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Again, shock. Blessed are the weeping ones. Not the optimists and the cheery souls who find silver lining in everything. No. Blessed are the bereaved and the heartbroken and the devastated ones. Blessed are those who have lost loved ones, who have lost careers, who have lost health, who have lost their way. Blessed are those with tear stains on their pillows and a sorrowful ache in their heart. This is shocking. And yet, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Jesus is a man of sorrows, acquainted with much grief. Even the Holy Spirit groans with us in our weakness. Remember at Lazarus' tomb, Jesus wept. How remarkable is this, that God weeps with us. And those who mourn discover in the kingdom of heaven a God who weeps with them, who bears our sorrows, who catches our tears in the palms of his nail-scarred hands. In the kingdom of the heavens, those who mourn shall find comfort from a God who is sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, who will one day wipe away every tear from our eyes and will turn sorrow into rejoicing and make everything sad come untrue. What a twist is this, that mourning would be the gateway into the depths of the heart of God. Who would have ever seen that coming? And yet it is so in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek, again, shocking. Not the go-getters, the trendsetters, the trailblazers. No, blessed are the humble. Blessed are the unassertive, the quiet, the timid, the shy, who prefer to be behind the scenes, to serve in supportive roles, who never wish to get in the way or be in the center of attention, who step aside and let everyone go first. And if something goes wrong, they usually blame themselves. Blessed are the meek, the unnoticed, the easily overlooked, who never make the headlines. For the meek discover in the kingdom of heaven a Savior who is meek and mild, who is lowly and gentle and humble of heart, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And having humbled himself, becoming a human and becoming obedient to the very point of death, a death on a cross, God is now highly exalted and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And indeed, in the kingdom of heaven, the meekest of all people, Jesus himself, now inherits all the earth. And those who share in his meekness, who have their destinies tethered to his, will be ushered into a huge inheritance, and the whole earth will now be theirs in Jesus Christ. And they will be left in the shadows no more. All their needs will be provided for. Again, what a twist, friends, that the meek would so meaningfully connect to the very heart of God. And yet this is the kingdom of heaven. The favor of God, don't you see, is bestowed upon the least likely. The favor of God is bestowed upon the least likely. Which, friends, is really good news, isn't it? Are you spiritually bankrupt with nothing to offer God but filthy rags? Are you a mourner, heartbroken in life and all the losses that come our way? Are you one of the meek and overlooked ones, living in the shadows? Don't you see? The kingdom of heaven is for you. It's for me. The God-blessed life is available to you and me. Even now, it can be ours. The unexpected kingdom, full of these unusual blessings, are available through an unparalleled offer. An unparalleled offer. Remember, Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's right here. It's right here. It's on offer. "I have come from heaven to earth, the King of Kings, to offer you life in the kingdom of the heavens, if you will come and take my hand, and I will lead you into all of life, into the blessings of the kingdom of heaven." Because, friends, the blessed life in God's kingdom is on offer in Jesus. It's on offer in Jesus. Everybody wants to be happy in life. We're all seeking some vision of the good life, aren't we? All the marketing and advertising tells us what it will take for us to be successful, to be blessed, to live the good life. And we run frantically chasing every day of our lives after the blessing of life and the good life that is offered. But friends, what if Jesus is right? What if the blessed life of the kingdom of God comes upon the least, the last, and the left behind? What if Jesus is showing us the life that is the real life, the upside down life, the upside down kingdom? What if this is actually the right way to live? Friends, if Jesus is right, our whole world is like a turtle flipped on its back that has no idea which end is up. So many of us get swallowed up and sucked into the machine, chasing after everything in this kingdom of the world. But what if Jesus is right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. All we need is nothing. But it's the one thing most people don't have. If you're a flipped over turtle, you can't save yourself, right? You've got no plan, no chance, and no hope unless someone reaches down and saves you. Don't you see? The meek have no plan. The poor in spirit have no chance. The mourners have no hope unless someone reaches down and saves them. And Jesus has. Jesus has come. He has reached down from heaven, and he is turning everything upside down. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus invites all of us to come, follow him. Follow me, take my hand, and step into the God-blessed life of the kingdom of heaven. It's on offer in me, in Jesus Christ. This upside-down kingdom, which turns out to be the right-side-up way of life. Won't you come and follow him? Won't you follow him?
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're glad you've joined us today as we dig deeper now into the blessed in the kingdom of God. And Pastor Philip, I mean, people think of themselves all the time as, you know, strong as a bear and like a lion or an eagle. I don't think anybody looks at themselves as a flipped over turtle, but this is a wonderful image that you've given us about a turtle now flipped up on its shell, exposed.
Yeah. Well, in some sense, this is what Jesus is doing. The upside down kingdom is calling this world what it is. It's the world's actually upside down, and Jesus is setting things to rights. And as the kingdom comes, it is actually inverting everything we thought we knew about what blessedness looks like, what the good life looks like. What does it mean to thrive and flourish as human beings? Everything's being flipped upside down. So we find ourselves here as Jesus unveils the kingdom. We find ourselves upside down in the world that he's describing. We're like that turtle flipped on its shell, on its back, helpless, writhing, you know, clawing at the air, unable to help ourselves, unable to do anything. We have not lived in a way that fits this kingdom of heaven. This is changing everything. What do we do when you find yourself upside down if you're a turtle? Well, the point is you can't save yourself. Turtles can't right themselves. Like the only way they're going to get back up on their feet is if someone reaches down from above and picks them up and flips them over and gives them a whole new chance at life, because they've been utterly changed. And that's why I like the image. It's That's exactly what we need.
Yes.
The kingdom of heaven, as Jesus is extending it to us, it's on offer. He reaches out with his hands. He says, just reach out and grab my hand. I'm going to take you. I'll flip you over. I'm going to give you a whole different kind of life. If you will just come to me, I will sweep you up into the life of the kingdom of heaven. Come to me empty. Come to me with nothing. And I will be your salvation. I will be your life. And I will show you the way to truly live. And so that's a beautiful invitation. And we are there. We're just helpless until he grabs a hold of us, aren't we?
Oh, that's true. I heard so many of our listeners say yes and amen. God flipped me over. Then I'm so glad that he did. You know, but use the term of this, that mourning is a gateway to the heart of God. But when we're, most of the time we think about mourning, we think about death. Mm. That somebody has died. And certainly it's associated with that. But we can grieve without death. And I think there's something different here when you're saying that mourning is the gateway to the heart of God. We're not just talking about physical death here, are we?
No. I mean, we mourn a lot of things. Jesus is saying, blessed are those who mourn, because in the bereftness of mourning, there's something he can do with that, you know? Mm-hmm. And the reality is the world is super broken. The world is not the way it's supposed to be. There's pain, there's suffering, there's agony, there's just, you know, like work is hard and childbirth is hard and relationships are hard. And like, there's all these friction points in life where we just realize this world is not the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And so we're always grieving at some level. It's not just the death of a loved one. We're grieving constantly. This world is a grievous place. We ache in it because it's not right. And I think we feel that constantly. And underneath that is a longing for a world made right, a longing for a better and whole world. It's like C.S. Lewis says, if I find in myself a longing, nothing in this world can satisfy, the most logical conclusion is that I was made for another world. Hmm. And the reality is those of us who are mourning through the brokenness of this world are actually longing for the world we were made for the world set to rights in the kingdom of heaven. And so our souls, as we mourn, it can be a spiritual conduit that actually points us in longing for the world that we were meant for and what God intends to bring. And so we can be tethered into the longing for the kingdom of God that is coming. And then we realize more and more Jesus is the only one who can make that happen. And he's our only hope. And so instead of putting all of our hope in the stuff of this world that we can lose, we start placing our hope and treasure in the one we can never lose. And that's Jesus and his life. And so so every time we grieve, there's an invitation underneath it to find in Jesus the one thing we can never lose, that will never be parted from us, the life we were meant for. And so there's an invitation underneath that. If you see it, every mourning moment is actually an invitation to long for and place our hope in the goodness and glories that are coming in Jesus Christ.
Mm. This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're talking about blessed in the kingdom of God. And you just touched on another point, though. We're talking about grieving and mourning, particularly when it comes to the loss of our physical possessions. So, Pastor Philip, our listeners want to know, in order for me now to be blessed, do I have to give up my Beanie Baby collection, my money, my stocks, my bonds? I have to get let loose of all my stuff? Is that what you're telling us today?
Well, so that is a good question, right? So Jesus is saying that the stuff of this world, mm-hmm. our wealth, our money, all this stuff, the riches of this world have a way of grabbing our souls. And the problem is not so much that we have stuff, but that stuff has us.
Amen.
And when we have our hearts tied up and entangled with the stuff of this world, when that's our treasure, where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. He's going to tell us more about that. Jesus will. Mm. But it's tethering our hearts to the wrong things. We're actually living for the wrong things. So it's not so much a matter of what you have. You can actually be really, really, really poor and still be arrogant and proud and think you have it all together. And it's actually the rich people who are the meanies and they're defrauding you. And so you're actually really brash and angry toward others because, like, that's also spiritual danger,
yes.
right? So it's not really about the amount of stuff you have. It's about the heart, underneath it, the spiritual condition of your soul, are you willing to really admit that you're empty-handed before God? Mm-hmm. Because it's in that empty-handedness that you can actually find a better treasure. And that's the life of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the real treasure. Mm. He's where life is. And so he's way better than our stuff. And we've got to get to the point where we can open-handedly say, the only treasure that really matters is Jesus. And then he becomes our all in all.
Amen. So it isn't just a matter of the possessions or the lack thereof, but we got to talk about this meekness. Now, in order for me to inherit the kingdom of heaven, that means I've got to become the world's doormat. That I just have to let people trample over me. And is that what he's talking about?
So what Jesus is talking about, there is a pejorative sense here to the word meekness. Like he's contrasting the people that you would think would be on the list versus not, right? So who are the people that inherit the earth now? It's the strong, the assertive, the dominating, the people who can leverage and take over stuff, right? Those are the people that inherit the earth.
Right.
The meek are the ones that get trampled on, who don't have their rights defended. And so Jesus is saying, like, if you have nothing in this world, but you have Jesus and you have the kingdom of heaven, you're actually richer than anybody else. And Jesus is going to inherit the whole universe, and you are a co-heir with Christ if you're in him, and therefore you'll inherit the earth as well. Right? And here's the irony, Pastor Larry. Jesus shows us what real meekness looks like.
Yeah.
It's strength under control. It takes a really strong person to go and sacrifice himself, to lay down his life on the cross to save the world. Mm. Jesus is the meekest person we've ever seen.
Yes.
And if we can learn that kind of meekness, we can actually learn what it really means to be strong. And so he's actually redefining this too as well, not just with his words in the Sermon on the Mount, but with the life he's going to lead and the way he's going to suffer and go to the cross. We're going to see the glory of Jesus on the cross as he suffers and dies. That's meekness. That's strength under control in sacrificial love. That's amazing. And if we can be meek like that, that'll change our lives. That's where the kingdom of God can give us that kind of resilience and strength. We can face anything if we have Jesus, and if we know his life can never be taken away.
Wow. Powerful word today. But that's what the word of God does, doesn't it, beloved? It, as Howard Hendricks says, it comforts the afflicted and it afflicts the comfortable, and it transforms us for kingdom glory. You know, in the upside down kingdom, being afflicted isn't a sign of God's absence. It's often the very place where Jesus is working. As we step into the truly blessed life, we realize becoming the person God made us to be isn't just a destination, it's a pursuit. That's why we're offering Jerry Bridges' book, The Pursuit of Holiness. We're saved by grace, but that grace isn't the finish line. It's the power that starts us on a lifelong journey. Bridges helps us learn to rely on God's strength while we take responsibility to build habits of holiness, he calls it. This book shows us that holiness isn't a cold list of rules to be mastered, but more, it's a gateway to resilience and strength in Christ. Now, if you want to move from simply enduring affliction to seeing how God uses it to transform you for the kingdom and for his glory, this resource is for you. It includes a study guide to help you discover what it means to be holy as he is holy. Pursuing holiness is all about a more intimate walk with our Heavenly Father. For the first time here on Living Hope, you can get your copy of The Pursuit of Holiness for a donation of any amount. Now, to request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can always write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Now, next time, we look at how the upside-down kingdom reverses our expectations. Be sure to share this now with a friend. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.